Good morning. Thank you for being here on a Monday morning. It is Monday, December 15th. We're halfway through the month. Matt, I can hardly believe it. It just flew by.
I mean it.
We are having, like you said, a very mild morning, and I'm loving it. The weather over the weekend was just gorgeous, and that was really helpful with so many community events, indoor, outdoor, and all around for holidays, kids, and great things like that. We're famous here on Monday mornings on Rainmakers for speaking about it's the National Day of whatever.
Yes.
And boy, is December 15th full of a lot of them. But before we get to that, I want to bring attention to last week. Last Friday, in fact, December 12th is a very renowned day for many, many reasons. It's certainly St. Guadalupe Day. And also, it was National Poinsettia Day. And not a lot of people knew about that. However, it was always kind of talked about as National Poinsettia Day in commemorating Joel Roberts Poinsett, who was the first U.S. ambassador to Mexico. And he was renowned as, they kind of say it like he introduced the plant to America, meaning the U.S., in the 1820s. What he did was bring it into the U.S. Mm-hmm. because that plant, the poinsettia, has been around for a long, long time, centuries and centuries, and in its native tongue, it is called Quetzalcoatzitl, and it carries our memories forward. It's known by the indigenous cultures to be carrying our memories quietly, rebelliously, and beautifully. And when we speak that true name, we really call to the history, the ancestors, the culture, and bring them back into the room. And women are honored with the poinsettia. That is really a tribute to the women who harvest, who take the medicine, and who keep the storytellers alive. So wanted to give that kind of cultural in our Sonoran Desert here, that cultural reference to such a beautiful plant that we see all over the
place here.
And now, on to today, December 15th. Today, believe it or not, is another National Cupcake Day. It seems that we've had a lot of those. Matt, I know we've talked about those. It's National Wear Your Pearls Day. It's International Tea Day. And it is Cat Herders Day.
Cats.
Anyone on a Monday morning is probably feeling like that's what they're doing. It's also National Gingerbread Latte Day and Bill of Rights Day, which commemorates the 1791 ratification of the first 10 amendments to our U.S. Constitution. So we've got a lot going on here besides just being in the middle of a great month. And I'm so excited for our guest this morning. Lots to talk about by way of culture, small business, helping children, education, and much, much more, because in our first hour, our guest is Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas. So it's a nice long name, which I love. Maria and I have known each other for a very long time because she does such fabulous work in the community. We first got to work together. We knew each other in community, but we first got to work together back in 2020 when at the time you were part of the U.S. Census 2020 team. You were part of the team that was headquartered out of Dallas and focusing all across the West. So Maria, welcome. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the invitation. I'm very excited.
It's wonderful to have you here, because what we will be talking about today is a nonprofit headquartered here in Tucson that you founded many, many years ago called United Hearts of Arizona, Corazones Unidos de Arizona. And this is a nonprofit that focuses on children and families and making sure that kids have the resources and support for their education. And they do that by way of backpacks, shoes, coats, and congratulations on last week having a very successful 12th annual. What's it, the sneakers and coats? Some places I see it written as shoes and jackets, so I think it's interchangeable there. But with all that good stuff, it's so wonderful to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what got you started.
Yeah, well, United Hearts of Arizona started because I was working at Mission View Elementary.
Okay.
And I started seeing kids not coming to school and some of the older kids coming to school not ready to learn.
Oh, no.
And, you know, as a community member, you start wondering why, what's going on, you know, what can we do, you know, to have these kids coming to school ready to learn. And I started digging and I started seeing, you know, kids coming, you know, with trash bags inside of their shoes, zip ties in their pants. And I'm like, no, this cannot be happening in the U.S., right?
There's
so many resources, so many assistance. But, and then I started learning that, you know, that really doesn't matter because if the kids are not receiving those resources, that's why, you know, they come, you know, the way they come to school. And so I started contacting other community members and said, hey, can you help me to buy shoes or jackets for the kids, you know, clean underwear, socks, you know, things like that, food boxes for the families. I just want to make sure the kids come ready to learn to school and not worry about if they have what they need. And that's how we started, you know, and 12 years ago, 2013.
Yes. Well, it was great. I love what you have on your website, which, by the way, is unitedheartsaz.org. So folks can find out more there. And it's a wonderful organization, but I love that straightforward right at the top. You have all these wonderful pictures of students, children, classrooms, bags that have been given out over the years, the different elementary schools. I see a picture right there of Mission View.
Yes.
And the line right on the front says, providing essentials reminds our children that they're truly important, and it fosters a more positive school experience, which is conducive to learning. So it sums it up right there.
Yes.
And it's true. When kids are well-fed, rested, and hopefully not stressed, they can pay attention to their own self and their own learning, and they can participate a lot better.
Yes. And just remember, you know, when kids, they come to school, attendance is very important for the school. So we want to also help the schools to make sure they receive their funding that they need if these kids, they come ready to learn to school.
That's right. That's right. Well, and your organization, and you put your heart and soul into it. Anyone who pays attention to community probably sees you, Maria, out and about. And it'll be wonderful, some of our listeners or viewers, if they are seeing you and excited, I hope that maybe they'll even call in, because we do take comments from callers at 520-790-2040. This is an award-winning organization. I mean, you're not just doing all the work, all the tasks, getting it happening, going out and chasing donations and sponsors and contributions, but the attention that you're giving to this has really brought a lot of accolades to what you're doing. The Arizona Heart and Soul Award, and that's heart and soul, as in son, the Richard Elias Legacy Award. In 2022, you individually received the Public Servant Award and also a wonderful spread in Shout Out Arizona publication that talked about you and your history growing up. And I really like that you give a lot of credit to your parents and the way that they raised you and your family. Always being very supportive, but attentive to community as well. So you learned it right at there.
And
I'm so glad to see you, and I can tell that that's hitting your heart. What a wonderful legacy that you're continuing.
Yes, my dad was always a good provider to us and always injecting and telling us, you know, sharing is caring. You know, when you really care for the people you share, whatever small big things you have in life, you have to share. And that's something that I always keep in my mind, you know, thinking ahead in my life, you know, what can I do better, especially when I see somebody in need. I remember when I used to go to middle school in Mexico, it was raining so much, and one of my friends, she was wearing sandals. And I had tennis shoes and socks, and she didn't. So I remember I took one of my socks and my tennis shoes, and I said, here, both of us were going to wear it. So I wear one and you wear another one. And she's like, why? You know, I have sandals. I say, no, because we have to be equal. Like, I don't feel good, you know, me being comfortable and you, you know, getting, touching the water. So,
so we'll at least have one foot each that's
correct.
Covered and dry.
Yes, yes.
How
and
nice
and that's how I am. You know, I really conduct myself like that and making sure, you know, my kids, my family, the people around me, you know, they're covered, they have, you know, what we need. And then, you know, that's why we do what we do with that community, making sure, you know, these kids, they feel comfortable coming to school. They feel, you know, value, because the kids already go through a lot in school, you know, a lot of bullying, a lot of like, that's not right. Your mom put that in the swami. They're not real. And that's another reason why when we do our event for the shoe and jacket or the tennis shoes, we give them name brand. I want the kids to feel comfortable. I want the kids to feel
proud.
Like they belong. Mm-hmm. I want the kids to feel love and feel the same, you know. Poverty shouldn't be, you know, an excuse for people to feel less
right.
than others. So that's something that we really point that out and making sure that we provide what the kids really need and like.
Well, and what I like about this is that when you are being attentive to the students, you're doing it for all the students. So there isn't going to be questions asked or restrictions about income or what zip code you're in or whatever. You work with the schools and help the students of the schools. We're all anyone who comes to the drives, right?
Yeah.
When you have the giveaways, you also have, so you have an annual sock drive also, mm-hmm. and the VIDA 2025 Breast Cancer Bilingual Conference. Mm-hmm. So that was more than just attention, but a conference of learning and exchanging about resources. So there's a lot going on here with United Hearts of Arizona. I'd love to take a deeper dive when we come back, because believe it or not, we are at our first commercial break, Maria. So again, thank you. We're talking with Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas. I just like to call her Maria V, with United Hearts of Arizona. You can find out more during our break, unitedheartsaz.org. And stay tuned, because we're going to be back on Rainmakers in just a moment. I love Los Lonely Boys. Thank you for putting that on.
Lydia versus the cables over there.
Lydia
today.
Versus the cables. I got myself all tangled up.
There you go.
It's a good thing it's a balanced chair. I might just topple over. oh, well, you know, certain things happen.
These things happen.
When you're live on air, you know, anything can happen, especially on a Monday morning. But we're having fun here this Monday morning, December 15th. We are here on Rainmakers, which is the Monday show of The Morning Voice here at 10:30, The Voice. Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us rolling along and on time. And our wonderful guest for this first hour is Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas. Maria is the CEO and founder of United Hearts of Arizona, which can be found online, unitedheartsaz.org, and also Facebook, LinkedIn, and all kinds of different profiles. Maria, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much again for the invitation.
I am so thrilled to hear that 12 years in, that this organization is continuing not only to just do good work, but actually expand the work. You've had so many different events, attentions, and efforts that have come together since your very first year. And it was founded primarily to help students have the items or resources that they or their families need so that they'll learn more. What a fabulous basis. And also what a flexible one, especially during the years of COVID, where folks suddenly were remote and had to accomplish that. I remember in those times, you were very focused on connectivity and also on other issues of wellness like breast cancer. So that's a lot swirling around in one organization in which you are there, not really a lot of staff, some support, but lots and lots of donors and
yes,
volunteers.
And volunteers. Yeah. Our organization is based on volunteer, and we always welcome any volunteers, anybody that it has the heart and it follows our vision and our mission to make an impact in this community.
That's fabulous. One of the things I really admire also is that you focus very much on targeting the, as you call it, the professional community. So volunteers of all ages and types and interests, but in particular, you are looking at private business, small business, and nonprofit leadership to say, hey, donations and contributions are appreciated, but also you know, leader XYZ, come and participate in one form or another.
Yeah, because I think it's important. As a nonprofit leader, you have to be able to not only see what your needs are in your organization, but also the needs around you and the community, because we should be united and working together, you know, to make a better life for these families, for these kids. So that's something that I always, you know, want to make sure that other leaders that are involved, including local officials, and because they see, you know, what we need. And our organization is about direct service. You know, here it is, use it, you know, put it on, you know, want to make sure the kids have what they need and the families. So I think it is important for all of them to see, you know, the need so they can make better decisions when it comes, you know, to the leadership in the city and the county and the state. So I always try to involve them in our program so they're more aware of what was the need in the direct service.
And speaking of direct service, also what you mean by that is that the money and the items that come in go right back out. You are not keeping them. It is kind of like a direct pass-through. So you don't have to deal with a lot of overhead and payroll and rent and all those kinds of things.
None of that. We're all volunteers. We all work. We're all community service, wanting to make a difference.
That's
You know, we just want to give back.
Speaking of impact, let's talk a little bit about your event last week. So again, it was the 12th annual United Hearts of Arizona Sneakers and Coat event. And I saw lots of fabulous photos on all the posts, right? LinkedIn, Facebook, X, all kinds of things, and certainly on your website. But tell us about how each year do you go about selecting who's involved and who the beneficiaries are?
Yeah, you know, working at the school before, I, you know, have the opportunity to use some of my skills and say, you know, who are the really the students in need. So now what I do, because I don't work at a school anymore, I contact the schools based on the census data and see which ones
How
are
convenient
the
convenient that you had such access to that,
right? I'm very good at that. So I'm the expert. So I go directly to the census data and see exactly what are the schools, you know, in need based on poverty, education, income, transportation, all of these things that, you know, we need to make sure that we're serving the right families. So most of the families, they're located on Ward 5 of the city of Tucson, Ward 1, and District 5 of Pima County. So we try to, you know, work with the schools directly. I work directly with the superintendent's office and said, hey, you know, I have these 5 of your schools that I'm inviting them to participate with us on the shoe and jacket event. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're going to do. This is what we need. So all we ask is those schools to provide us with the name, a boy or a girl, jacket size, shoe size, sock size, underwear size, you know, what grade they are. That's all we ask. We do ask the schools that these kids, they have to be in some type of federal benefit, access, food stamps, they're dislocated students, they are in the McKinney-Vento program, which is they're homeless or they're living with another family because their parents, they got
foster
deported.
Kids, perhaps.
Foster kids, a lot of those kids. So the schools, they have the responsibility to select those kids.
Okay.
We don't want to get into that. We just want to make sure, you know, the schools identify them based on the criteria that we have. And then they provide the information to us. So now what we do after the pandemic, because I used to take the kids to JCPenney and Famous Footwear to pick their items.
I remember that you used to actually set up the shopping day and lots and lots of volunteers to be chaperones so that, you know, no child gets lost or wanders off or anything like that. And they would go on a little shopping spree, very specifically for shoes, socks, underwear and coats. Yeah, coats or jackets. And I'm imagining, though, that that became huge.
Yes.
And a big undertaking. So it sounds like this is now the new version.
Yes.
Of that.
And then not only that, but it was a lot of more logistics, a lot of permission slips, a lot of transportation issues. You know, we had to rent a bus or two to take them. So it was, and then in the good thing that the way we used to do it at the end, we used to take him to McDonald's to have lunch there. And believe it or not, a lot of these kids, they had never been in McDonald's.
Oh, I believe it.
And people sometimes, they don't believe me that, but I'm like, yeah, some kids, they don't. They really don't. So we used to do that. But after the pandemic, we kind of redirect and saw, you know, the need of making changes. And what we do now, we host an event, a distribution event. And but because now we have to go and buy the items for them, me and some volunteers, we have to have
a whole lot of volunteers. I've seen the mechanics of that.
Yes. And last Thursday, we went to Famous Footwear. We bought every single pair of shoes with a few volunteers. And then Friday, we started, you know, packing everything, every single item, every single bag for the kids, name tags, everything. And then Saturday is when we did the distribution day.
Well, that's fabulous. And we are going to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to hear about what is the next upcoming event. And in the meanwhile, stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. We're going to hear a little tune from Tierra, Together. Together, baby. And Sock It To Me. We got a little Isley Brothers going on with It's Your Thing, but I love that. Sock It To Me. Reminds me of Goldie Hawn, Laughing. I'm really dating myself by saying that. We are here on Rainmakers this Monday morning, December 15th. And for our first hour, we've been speaking with Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas, the CEO and founder of United Hearts of Arizona, Corazones Unidos Arizona, which is a nonprofit focused on kids, focused on providing children some of the basics that they need, clothing, backpacks, and other supplies, shoes, jackets, and those kind of things to make sure that they're comfortable, that they're safe, they're warm, they're healthy, and they can focus on their learning. Maria, what a wonderful cause. And it's been going strong now since 2013, so 12 years.
12 years already, yes. And we still have the passion. We still want to share the same vision and our mission to serve our community. And every year, our programs are being increased in participation and community volunteers. They're more aware of what we're doing. Last week, we had our event for the shoe and jacket event. And we had volunteers coming back from different corporations and organizations that they wanted to give back. And they were with us the year before and last year, and they came back, and I was very amazed to see them come back, and they're like, we're here again, we're ready to serve.
we're standing at the ready. Well, and that's what we want. I know that your sponsors range from small businesses and restaurants to stores, big corporations, and interesting organizations. Sometimes they're engineering firms, or they are other kinds, like you've got Suvida Healthcare, but also the city of Tucson. You've got many, many different health plans, like Arizona Complete Health, Alignment Health Plan, but also Done Right Services, which is, I believe, a home repair or a building repair. The Women's Commission, Felix Electric, I'm watching it go by right now on my screen. Tucson Kino Rotary, just such a wide variety of folks. Papi Chulos, Chucherias, and you've also got Changuitos Feos, the music group, the music performance group. So, Ballet Folklorico. I bet they're all really excited when they get to come together, and not only because you are attentive to, of course, give them the visibility, the ongoing visibility all year long, but you engage with them in other aspects as well. Yes. Little bit of mutual helping them out while they help you out.
Exactly. And it should be. You know, that's how it should be. That's how I vision, you know, my organization to also be able to help other organizations and other events and programs. Because, again, since I said in the beginning, you know, to me, sharing is caring. And I want to make sure that kids are served in all aspects. So, you know, joining forces with other organizations, nonprofits, or you know, local officials, it's very important because we serve more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about serving.
Yes, it sure is. Now, the kids that have benefited from your services, as they grow up, as they get older, as they go on to other schools, do you find that they come back and they're starting to volunteer perhaps with their parents or families?
Yes, I actually have specifically two brothers that I took them to the first Shoe and Jacket event. Mm-hmm. And these two kids, they already graduated from college.
Oh, wow.
And now they're working. One works in a bank, and the other one, he has his own business of air conditioning and stuff like that.
Wonderful. And a continuation
of
that. Yes,
and they contact me, and they say, Miss Cardenas, now we're working. You know, we're doing our best. We're starting a family, you know, in the workforce, and we want to get back.
Nice.
We want to make sure that, you know, that now is our time to go back. And, you know, it's the circle of influence, you know, coming back to you and saying, hey, you know, I was one of the recipients. I was one of those kids that needed the help back then. And now I'm doing good. And I want to now be the provider. I want to be the helper. I want to be the donor that, you know, now I'm here for those kids coming behind me. Mm-hmm. So that's when we see that, you know, we're really, really making an impact. And it's very important because some of these donors, they were part of these type of programs when they were little.
Sure. So now they're paying it forward.
Exactly.
So with your organization, and we hope with many organizations, but yours in particular, you are really planting that seed of servant leadership and volunteerism. And that's something that we talk about a lot here on Rainmakers. In fact, our very first episode was a full 2 hours on volunteering, and we've continued to have little hits throughout the year. Volunteering really fosters a lot, and it helps people with their own wellness. Suddenly they can feel good about a task, or they can feel that they help somebody else, and that always is a wonderful boost to our own psyche, our own emotions. But especially when children are beneficiaries of giving, and they remember that.
You
know, that old adage of people may not remember what you said. They may not remember what your title was. They may not remember those specifics, but they're always going to remember how you made them feel. And you are helping them feel safe and feel confident so that they can give back. What a wonderful legacy you're creating, multi-generational.
Yes. Two weeks ago, I was in a meeting doing a presentation. And one of the parents stood up and she said, hey, can I interrupt you? And I said, sure. And then she said, don't you remember me? And I'm like, no. I mean, too many kids, right?
Exactly.
Through the whole years.
Well, and you haven't seen them in years, and they're all grown up now.
Yes. And she said, don't you remember my daughter, Ashley? And I'm like, no. And then she said, and then the little girl, she's now 18 or 19. And she said, I was one of the first ones that you took to JCPenney. And I still have those tennis shoes and those jacket that I got from you.
Them.
And she said, and I've been following you on social media and all the great things that you do. She said, and I heard that you were going to be here, you know, at this program presenting. So I wanted to be here and let you know that I'm very thankful. And the mom started crying. And she's like, I just want to say thank you, because back then I was really needing it. Now I'm a business owner. I do cakes and I do this and that. And now it's time for me to give back. And it just...
Warm your heart.
I was like, wow, you know, at least I know that I'm making an impact and a difference on some of these kids. You know, I always tell my board members, you know, even if we know one kid, you know, it's going to school, it's doing the right things, they become a better citizen. Only one impact in one kid, that's my pay.
Sure. That's the great result, because it's like a ripple effect. And I think that's the beauty about what so many organizations, for-profit and non-profit, really do make a difference. I'm thinking of for-profit companies like Bombas and so many others, where if you buy a pair of socks, they make sure to donate a pair of socks. So, you know, there's a lot of that give back. But when you put in the heart and soul, you really do create a new feeling for others. And when those folks come back and return by donating back to your organization or some other one and want to use of their time and their talent to volunteer and to advise and maybe to mentor someone else, it really is helping to improve the world one person at a time, one student at a time, one jacket at a time.
Exactly.
So, in the next couple minutes, I'd love to make sure to give some attention to the fact that you also are very attentive to breast cancer, widespread disease that affects so many.
Yeah.
So what got you into that? Was it that you just saw that there was an opportunity to connect, or was that something
My grandma had breast cancer back in the 70s when I was a little girl. The education and the opportunity, it wasn't there. And then my mom became a breast cancer recipient back in the 1998, I believe. And, you know, one of her breasts was removed. So again, you know, because of her strength and because she was able to find resources and ask for resources, we're 9 kids. You know,
good
my mom
six.
Was, yes.
Good for you.
My mom was like, I have to be, you know, able to live more for my kids. So she did what she needed to do. So when I found the organization, I'm like, what can I do, you know, to do this better? You know, the resources, they're here, but sometimes they don't get to the people because lack of education, lack of literacy, whatever the case is, right, with families. So I'm like, how can I be the bridge, you know, to connect these people to the resources? And that's how we started, you know, the VIDA Breast Cancer Conference with Dr. Ana Maria Lopez from the University of Arizona Cancer Center. And then we started, and then we stopped, you know, because of the pandemic and all that. And then we restarted doing it. So that's all. We want to educate our families. The resources are there. You know, do your mammogram. And what I do at the Breast Cancer Conference, I bring doctors.
Wonderful.
Directly to talk to the people, you know, nutritionists, oncologists, primary care, you know, pain management, you know, mammograms, free mammograms for people, things like that, because I want people to get the direct service and educating themselves and finding what they need.
Information is power, as the saying goes. And I love that every year, every October, you hold this conference now for a few years in a row. And usually, or if not all the time, it's held at the El Pueblo Neighborhood Center. So it's right in the neighborhood, easy for folks to come and get to. And in that particular center, they also have access to so many other resources through the congressional office that is headquartered there. It used to be our late great Congressman Earl Grijalva, and now it is Adelita. And having that conference there and bringing the doctors, and if nothing else, even if people who are attending, even if they're not afflicted with this, it's good information to have so they can be on the lookout. We are going to go on another commercial break, but when we come back, I want to make sure that we remind people how to get in touch with you, how to sign up to volunteer, where they can donate, and any other questions that they might have. So stay tuned. You're going to hear more about United Hearts of Arizona. We are listening to Rainmakers. It's a Monday morning here at the Morning Voice. We're listening to some Double Dutch Buses. We come back in for our last little segment from our first hour with our fabulous guest, Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas. She is the CEO and founder of United Hearts of Arizona, Corazones Unidos de Arizona, a nonprofit that's been around 12 years, and in its most basic message is helping kids to learn so that they can help themselves and make this world a better place. Shoes, jackets, shoes, shoes, jackets, and underthings, you know, t-shirts and underwear, socks, all those great things that are basics for kids.
Backpacks
every year for school, and attention to wellness in so many ways about stress and mental well-being, and then specifically the cause of breast cancer. So you've got a lot going on there, Maria. I am sure people want to know how they can get involved. Maybe they want to donate, maybe they want to sponsor, or maybe they just want to learn more and come out and volunteer. So how would they do that?
Yes. Well, they can visit us on our website. It's www.unitedheartsaz.org. They can find us on all social media platforms. Mm-hmm. They can email me. There's whenever you want to, you can. I always say it. If you want to, you can, because, you know, you always find the way to do it.
That's right. And let's give that phone number. It's 520-543-1061, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Want to make sure I can see that there. Mm-hmm. And then email admin, which is ADMIN, uh-huh, admin@unitedheartsaz.org. So lots of ways to get in touch with you. And I see here all the handles. You got Facebook, Twitter, or excuse me, X, LinkedIn, Insta, YouTube,
Snapchat.
So people can't say they don't have a way to get to you. But again, providing essentials reminds our children that they are truly important. What a great message. What a wonderful cause. And Maria, you did it by taking on that legacy that your parents instilled in you. I am always so honored to be able to call you a colleague and a friend, and I know that you're doing great things out there. So congratulations on another wonderful year of success with the kids. I know that you miss your parents greatly, but you are absolutely living on their memory, and all they taught you is living on through you. So thank you for the difference you are making in our community.
Thank you so much. And I can't do it alone. You know, our board members, they're such a great community, mm-hmm, members, you know, willing to help. And my kids, you know, they started this with me. You know, they don't have
they
any
jump
other
right
option.
In.
It
That's
is
right.
important, you know, for the kids, yes, to see, you know, how blessed they are when there are other kids in need. So they, mm-hmm, have to be able to see that. I always tell my volunteers, bring your kids.
Yeah.
So they can
see
it.
Let them do the hands-on, create that legacy of servant leadership, of community engagement, of helping others. And these are all things that then aren't handouts, but they are an exchange so that people can continue to stay involved. Like, yeah, you said, so many examples of now the kids that have grown up from those, yeah, 12 years ago, they're out in the world, yeah, making great things happen, and they are coming back and giving of their time, talent, and treasures. So
yes,
it's fostering that.
Yes, we are creating better citizens. Mm-hmm. We want kids to grow and become better citizens and give back to the community. You know, many of our volunteers, you know, they have done these before, and they, you know, now share our vision and our mission, you know, to make sure these kids have what they need so they can become a better citizens and a better leaders in our community.
That's wonderful. Well, we are grateful for you being here. We wish you wonderful holidays, and to all the sponsors, donors, and volunteers of United Hearts, thank you for making a great holiday for so many young kids. We hope you'll stay tuned for our second hour, because coming up in our next hour, we're going to continue with the talk about volunteering and its importance, specifically with the American Red Cross. We've got Ed Alexander and Artis Waite coming on, and we are also going to be launching our Rainmakers Fact of the Day, and the fact that Rainmakers makes you go, hmm. So stay tuned when we come back after the top of the hour. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. Take it away, Matt Neely. And we're back for our second hour on Monday, December 15th. This is Rainmakers, The Morning Voice, here on 1030 The Voice at KVOI. Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us rolling along. Matt, wasn't that a fabulous first hour that we had with Maria and the United Hearts of Arizona?
Anything that people can do, we were talking with Rockin' for Heroes, and mm-hmm, one of their grants was to help was funding to help people on the GI Bill with stuff that the GI Bill didn't cover, just to keep them going, keep them on their path.
Right.
And what she was doing, the same thing.
Same thing for the little ones.
Making it easier to stay in school and not get discouraged and get them things they need so they can do what they're supposed to do at school,
right,
in school, which is learn.
I love the story that she told when she was a little girl, and one of her schoolmates, they were in a rain. It was a rainy, rainy day, and one of her schoolmates only had sandals, and she had her tennis shoes, and so she took off one of her tennis shoes and one of her socks, and gave that to the little girl, and took one of her sandals, right, so that they were going to at least between the two of them have one warm and covered foot, and the other one could get cold,
right,
so that it was more of a balance. And I just thought that's the example of the kind of person that Maria is, and the kind of so many people give of their experience and of their expertise to make sure that our communities are better, safer, healthier. And boy, are we keeping up with that theme, because in this hour we have fabulous guests. Ed Alexander and Artis Wade are here from the American Red Cross Southern Arizona chapter, and we're going to talk about volunteering, we're going to talk about disaster relief. But before we get to that, we've got a couple of new things that we are little by little starting to add on to our show. And Matt, I'm excited that we are kicking off what will hopefully be a regular thing for our second hour. And it is Rainmakers Makes You Go, our fact of the day, our Rainmakers fact of the day. That's right. And so as we do that, let's tell you some fun things that are going on. Earlier today, we did talk about the National Day of Everything, National Pearl Wearing Day, National Cupcake Day, and certainly National Cat Herders Day,
yay,
which we often feel we are all doing in community. But today, with Rainmakers Makes You Go Home, our fact of the day is that in the fiscal year 2025, Costco sold enough toilet paper to reach the moon and back more than 200 times. Definitely one of those things that just makes you go, interesting.
Hey, I do it.
Are you kidding?
We get our paper goods. Thank you.
Yep. So, and I have to tell you that this little fact of the day that we will continue to do is in tribute to my brother, Tony, who is an absolute trivia whiz. My brother-in-law, Terry, who equally has some facts, and even going to give a shout out to my cousin, Jerry, who seems to always know little factoids and names about history, about actors, about movies, about all kinds of stuff. So we're going to continue this. Thanks, Matt.
That was they do. I wonder how that compares, that the Costco toilet paper number compares to like 2020 or 2021.
You know, that would be interesting. Maybe somebody can go out there and do a study. I'm sure there's a grad student somewhere that can look into that. So.
And I'm going to get you the trivia calendar for 2026.
There you go. There you go. That voice that you all are hearing is of our famous Ed Alexander, who spent many, many years.
Once famous.
Well, ongoing famous. Ed, of course, his 50 years. I mean, so it wasn't just a little bit, but 50 years on Tucson Radio, including the last 10 of his 50 years producing actually the KVOI Wake Up
Morning. Yeah, he's doing Matt's job.
Wake Up Morning, yes. Yeah. So Matt and Ed know each other well.
The man left a huge footprints to
I thought you'd say huge pile.
No.
That's the weekend. No. Could go anywhere.
That's the weekend, people.
It's always interesting starting a show on a Monday morning, seeing what we're coming in from the weekend. But we, all of our colleagues say that about all of us. The mid-morning show says that about
us.
Yeah,
and
the night show. But we are so excited to have you here, Ed.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us.
And folks, I may be aware, but maybe not. So let me tell them, since you retired in 2020, of course, you've been a very key volunteer with many organizations, but particularly the Red Cross,
right,
Southern Arizona chapter.
Yes.
And you first started doing some volunteering to kind of help out with media and communications, which makes a lot of sense. Doing that all across the Southwest, which is both Arizona and New Mexico make up a region.
Right, correct.
And most recently, though, you are now community volunteer lead.
Ooh,
so yeah. CVL. So, you know, when you
that
see
means
Ed
more
Alexander,
responsibility
yes,
while I'm retired, yes.
You are seeing a lot of things going on. And so that means that you get to liaison with local community leaders about the importance and the opportunities with American Red Cross.
Right.
And under, of course, the leadership of Executive Director Courtney, as I like to call her. She does a fabulous job. She's here amazing. In Southern Arizona and yep. tying in with all the other leaders all around the two-state region.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, talk to government officials, talk to schools. Basically, it's reach out now. I talk to people and help them find out how we can help them. We see what they need and how we can work together, how we can build community together, mm-hmm. and how we can we're trying to help people know their neighbor and be good neighbors and in time of emergencies, whatever the crisis may be, knowing your neighbor is the most important thing.
Isn't that the fact?
You know,
it really is.
And
that way you know how to account for someone who's missing, and you also feel better about going to ask for help.
Exactly. You can knock on their door and ask for help, or if you don't see them, you can knock and see if they're okay. You know their story. If they need their meds, they're out there on the street. Oh, you don't have your glasses. What happened? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
where's your dog or cat?
Yes, being mm-hmm. a good neighbor has a lot to do with it. And we're just trying to get people prepared for whatever might happen. So.
Well, so important, the mission of the Red Cross and disaster relief and recovery, and even things like mobile feeding and other kind of volunteer organizations so that it's not a crazy, you know,
chaos.
Yeah. You need yeah. Some real attention and a real plan. And so with us also is someone who knows a lot about that, Artis Waite. Thank you for being here this morning, Artis.
Thank
I'm
you
so
for
excited.
Inviting me.
To have you here, and for our viewers and listeners, Artis is a veteran, having served in Vietnam, a trauma nurse, and currently the Red Cross volunteer leader, specifically looking at disaster action team. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have a large disaster action team in Southern Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and we respond not only locally, but regionally, and then we have a large group of people who also deploy nationally.
That is fabulous. And it's important that all of the different chapters and the teams are ready to help each other, because in disaster or in emergency, time is of the essence and people need to be coordinated. So kind of like the knowing your neighbor, knowing your other teams around the country or around the state help with that support, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like right now we have nationwide, we have 18 shelters open and 340 people in shelters from Texas, California. Washington has a large shelter right now.
From the flooding?
Yeah, and we even have a shelter open right now in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, wow.
So
hurricane and other kinds of issues that are coming up.
Any kind of weather-related incident. Sometimes, I mean, like right now in Washington State, basically the entire state is flooded. So there's not one designated area. I think we have 10 or 12 shelters open throughout Washington.
That is incredible. The need strikes at just a quick moment. I'd like to say a few more things about your background, because these really stuck out to me. You had served, as I mentioned, as a trauma nurse in Vietnam. That's not just a minute ago. That's a bit ago, and a lot has changed, I would imagine, in technology and approaches and all that. But talk about really really getting your foundation in emergency services. And I read this fact about using dried Red Cross plasma to be able to treat the wounded back then.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, we had, you know, unfortunately, in a situation like that, we used a lot of Red Cross blood products.
Mm-hmm.
Used a lot of whole blood in addition to the dried frozen plasma.
Well, and you have served in many different volunteer roles, thousands of hours, of course, not only given to the Red Cross, but as I understand, the Civil Air Patrol. So
yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've actually been in the Civil Air Patrol since 96.
Oh, okay.
So I've got a few years there.
Yes.
You fly in airplanes or helicopters, or what were you guys doing?
Yeah, air patrol. I mean, parachutes.
Yeah.
Now, basically... it's the same thing as search and rescue. You know, we fly airplanes have a responder in them that, should they actually crash, goes off mm-hmm. and sends out a signal. And when that signal goes off, then we deploy airplanes to find the plane,
to find the
damn plane.
Right.
Sometimes it's not a plane we're looking for. I mean, Fort Huachuca several years ago lost one of their balloons. We spent 2 or 3 days trying to find the balloon.
My goodness. So you were called out to do that too. So see, it doesn't always have to be in an emergency, but it might be an urgency. So yeah. There are those differences.
Well, they needed their balloon and it, you
they
know.
They needed the balloon back.
That's they needed their balloon
back. Yeah, we can't have those just laying around. Also, where did I read? Let's see, that you were charged with opening the very first trauma center here in Tucson.
That is correct. That also was many years ago. It was opened at Kino.
Okay.
It was called Trauma 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time in Tucson area where we brought people directly from the ambulance into the OR, bypassing a lot of steps. And
just getting it right there.
And getting them right there. It was pretty successful. It was Tucson's initial... awareness of trauma services in general as a separate from the emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
It worked well. We had it open, I think, almost a year, and then University opened a trauma service and TMC opened a trauma service. But it was fun. I run into, on a regular basis, I run into... old paramedics that remember it and remember me, so it's kind of fun.
May I ask, where did they go before that? If there was a trauma, I had to go to Phoenix? You had to fly them to Phoenix?
No, they would come into the emergency room.
Oh, okay.
They'd come into
have
the emergency
room. Have to be there
with
everybody. Yeah.
And then you'd have to call in a physician, et cetera. And what we did was we made it so that, you know...
You go right in.
You could go right into the service bypass.
And they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, we are at our first commercial break for this hour, so we're going to pause right there. I think we've got people on the hook wanting to learn more.
Oh, my gosh.
Because when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the many different services, disaster response, blood collection, very, very important to donate blood, life-saving training like CPR, first aid, swimming, babysitting, and service to the armed forces. So stay tuned because you are listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice here on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back. Enjoying a little groove by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Always playing those upbeat tunes. Thank you, Matt. We're enjoying it here, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed's getting into the groove.
The groove
I'm snapping
on.
My fingers. Artist tapping her foot. You know, we love it. There's great music and wonderful vibes going on here. And that was great. Spice of Life. We're talking about the Red Cross. We're talking about red. We're talking about having that energy when it's needed and having the plan. I love on the signature line of the volunteers that I have here in studio, namely Ed Alexander and Artis Waite, who are both with American Red Cross Southern Arizona Chapter. At the bottom of your signature line, Ed, it says, be prepared, let's talk strategy. So it's not just only the be prepared, but an offer to say we can help build that plan. That is something that I always appreciate about the American Red Cross is they, you all, as an organization, decades and decades and decades of making the process, tightening it up, making it a little bit better, a little bit quicker, a little bit more informative, but also always leaving so much room for people to get involved. That's an awful lot going on when you're talking often about triage and trauma and emergency. But there are also a lot of things that happen on the daily lives that is
right.
less emergency, but it is part of that being prepared, right?
You have to be prepared because
yeah.
you
Those
never know.
Those lines of service.
And artists can talk to you about what she does every day on that. But that's what we do. We teach people that we don't know. We teach kids what to do if there's a home fire, you
mm-hmm.
know. Stay low and go, you know. Things like that. Plan. What, like you mentioned before, what if the dog is under the bed and you have a fire? you know, you have to think about that ahead of time. That's all. So if you talk about that with each other, with your family, okay, well, there's a fire all out in the street. We're going to meet over that palm tree, you know, and we know
don't deviate from the plan.
You know,
stick with the plan,
and then you don't have to worry about it because when it happens, you know what you're going to do. Because otherwise, it's like you say, total chaos.
Yes.
And so just have a plan. And we try to help people think their way through. And, you know, if somebody's choking, what do you do? You do the Heimlich. How do you do that? You do this. Okay.
You get trained ahead of time.
Those kind of things. So we do those kind of trainings. And it's very simple. And then you don't have to worry about it.
Right. As you practice, like anything else, practice makes perfect. So whether it is, it's kind of like how we teach kids teach kids to know their own phone number or know their parents' name.
You have
to know your parents' name.
Yeah.
Or it's helpful, at least if you have a first name and it's not mom or dad. You need to have some of those things. And those are the little details that can make a world of difference.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that plan is, you know, have a smoke alarm. Put smoke alarms in. You know,
the batteries, even if it's annoying. Put new batteries in them.
We install smoke alarms, but we also install bed shakers for people who are hard of hearing.
Oh.
Yes.
So
you can't hear it.
You can't hear.
How would you hear it?
Or if you're just one of those deep sleepers, you might have just had a crazy week and you're out for the count.
And so no noise
is going to wake you.
You know, part of that program to install those, we also help people write an exit plan. So that they know which direction to go and how to get out of their house. We give them stickers to post up. So sometimes in an emergency, people forget something simple like how to dial 911.
Right.
So we post all of that stuff in preparation for it.
So again, lots of lines of service, multiple lines of service that the Red Cross has: disaster response, blood collection, and distribution. The life-saving training that you were just talking about, CPR, first aid, things for swimmers, both the swimmer themselves and the people who are lifeguards, if you were, or the parents or other kids that are nearby, what to do when you're in a swimming environment. Babysitting, always. I remember as a kid, I started babysitting at like 9 or 10 years old, and probably 10. But I remember a lot of the classes and courses that were available at school, but also in neighborhoods and other groups that were available.
At the Y or what have you.
Because so much can happen in babysitting, and you are often in a house that you don't know or certainly don't know intricately. So that's important. Service to the armed forces, international relief, restoring family links, fundraising, volunteerism.
Is that all?
So that, what is that, like just a Tuesday? You know, no, that's an awful
Monday
lot
morning.
Going on.
That's and Monday morning yes, activities.
Yes, Monday morning.
Did you get called last night, Artis?
No.
Nope.
No,
okay.
We did not get called last night.
Usually they do.
Yes,
and
we do.
And what would the call have been for?
Well, we respond to home fires, weather-related incidents of people's homes. We have a team that's on 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a fire or your house is flooded or you lose your roof, we get notified and we respond.
That's locally. Right.
That's locally.
So a lot of teams have to be available to keep that going 24 hours, I would imagine.
And we go out. What we do is we try to get the person to a safe environment we can give them some financial support if they need to go to a motel and provide food. We also have nurses on call that will help them replace their medicine or durable medical equipment if they lost that. We have counselors on call that can talk to them.
Sure.
And we have spiritual people. And then within 48 hours, then our recovery team, second group of people, get a hold of them, and they work with their recovery. They help them find new housing. They help them work with their insurance company, whatever they need to get back on their feet. We do a lot of referrals for where they can find food, where they can get clothing if they lost all of their clothing. And we'll follow those up sometimes for a couple months. We work with the people.
That is tremendous, and I bet a lot of people don't really realize that, because they hear about disaster recovery or these things, so they think about big, huge atrocities mm-hmm. that happen.
Yeah.
Plane crashes, like you said, wildfires and all that. But on a daily basis, a lot of disasters happen on a very small
yeah,
level.
Yeah, they happen on a small...
And
you know,
so that's
they
your day job, is to keep that team yeah. going on all those levels, yes?
Yeah, they take, you know... One family has an emergency. They need all of the services
That's
that a
right.
major family has. I mean, one of the things that people don't even realize is that we take care of their animals, too.
See, that's important. And there are a lot of those yeah. little details that are very, very important to folks. And that's also then where other organizations, other nonprofits or agencies, or even private business can find a way to get involved and to help,
exactly.
correct?
Exactly.
Because... while you're managing all that, and while there are a lot of, again, volunteers who have that subject matter expertise, it can't just all be done only by the Red Cross or the Red Cross teams.
Absolutely.
There's a role in this for everybody in a community to make sure. And when we get back from our next commercial break, because believe it, we're at that again, I want to talk a little bit more about how the other organizations come into play with the kind of work you do. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Super. Well, you're listening to Rainmakers because it's Monday. This is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice on 1030 The Voice here at KVOI. Please stay in touch. We'll be right back talking disaster relief.
And if you'd like to follow along on YouTube, 1030 The Voice is our channel, and you can watch our video, and we'll cross-link to it on Facebook if you want to find us there as well.
Letting It Whip by the Daz Band. We're coming back in with that upbeat here for our last half hour of our Monday, December 15th show here on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we have had a fabulous morning. We started off with Maria Viani Valdez Cardenas, who is CEO and founder of United Hearts of Arizona, Corazones Unidos Arizona. And now in this hour, we're speaking with the American Red Cross Southern Arizona Chapter, two of their lead volunteers extraordinaire, Artis Waite and Ed Alexander. And in fact, if you were listening at that commercial break, you might have recognized Ed's voice.
Union.
Yeah, doing that Union and Reforma and Proof. Shout out to my co-host, who a fellow host who hosts on Wednesdays Food for Thought here on The Morning Voice. And that is Mr. Grant Kruger.
Just saw him the other day at the coach's show. We talked for a while. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Got a lot going on. He's got a new place coming. And, of course, we have different hosts every day here on The Morning Voice.
We've got five hosts.
And, in fact, let's show the little card here for the camera. We've got Ted Maxwell on Tuesdays, so we call it Ted Tuesdays. Civic Engagement, Grant on Wednesdays with his Food for Thought. We've got Tom Moulton on Thursdays,
yes.
who really talks about Southern Arizona tourism, and he talk about trivia. He really throws in all these great facts about what happened when and who was working at the old Tucson studios, and did you know about Karchner Cavern and you know, all kinds of stuff. And we wrap it up every Friday with Dr. Ed Ackerman doing Wonder and Success.
It's a great lineup.
U of A stuff and small business stuff. So yes, it's a fun week. It goes very quickly. Mm-hmm. And we could not make it happen without the fabulous talent of Mr. Matt Neely behind that glass.
Hey. Don't go change
on a Monday.
On a Monday. Good stuff. Well,
no vacation either. Sorry.
No vacation, at least not yet.
Not yet.
I always try to say, don't ever go on vacation on a Monday. So far, it's worked out pretty good, but couldn't do this without Matt. So thank you very much, Matt. Before the break, our listeners and viewers who might have been on before we took this break, we were talking a lot about the multiple lines of service and the fact that locally, a lot of daily activity happens too, because disasters sometimes are small. They happen a family at a time, a car at a time, a building at a time, or a house. And so, Artis, you keep very busy, as you were speaking about, overseeing that 24-hour response team for house fires, house flooding, and all the details about making sure that a family is safe when emergency strikes and they might need to get to a hotel, might need help with their insurance, might need to make sure their pet is okay, or they need food for their pet, things like that.
Yes.
So how big is that team that you keep running?
I believe we have 12 supervisors and 25 responders.
Wow. So that's a good amount of folks who are taking on those shifts, even in the middle of the night, to be on call.
Yes, even in the middle of the night, they're on call.
Now, the Southern Arizona Red Cross covers 7 counties.
Yes.
All the way from New Mexico all the way over to Yuma. Little smile, all the counties.
That's right.
So there's a lot of space. Something happens.
And sometimes it's not easy to get to.
I
was going to say, Graham and Greeley, you have to kind of always go around before you can get there. There's not a quick straight shot.
No, there isn't. But we do respond up there.
And Santa Cruz County, even Pima goes far out. Ajo and Sells and, you know, some of those areas that are remote.
We go to Santa Cruz County.
And is Yuma in that mix, Yuma County?
Yes.
Because border? Okay.
May I say, just speaking of all the volunteers, Red Cross is 90% volunteers, 10% staff, and goes all the way up to national and all the way down here because we have leaders who specified and I'm really good at that. And we are not a government agency.
This is a nonprofit.
We work with FEMA, of course, when there's something like that happens. We work hand in hand, side by side with a lot of folks like that. But that's not where we get our money. We are what is it with the service of the armed forces? What's that word? We are 100 years ago, Congress mandated that we would be in charge of communications for our service members here and wherever. So we're in some 380 U.S. Bases around the world, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're in charge of communications from the family. So if the serviceman is in Germany and the family is here and the kids or whatever, something happens, we're in charge of getting that information and getting those people home if they need it, or vice versa over there.
Their loved ones to go over and see them.
We do all those kind of things.
Wow.
And that's about as government as we get, because we are mandated to do that. So now Congress doesn't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken care of.
That's right.
That's what we do. So,
but it's not all. We also notify people when they have new babies.
Yep.
It's good news, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, and that's so important to keep that communication going and support the military families, the military service men and women that are focused on their mission. Mm-hmm. And so this is a way to help, because that's an urgency as well. When there are new babies in the world, we want to know that away, share some good news.
Yeah.
And interesting that the intersection with the cooperation with and collaboration with other government agencies, like you said, FEMA and such. I imagine that's impacting you a little bit, and maybe forcing Red Cross to have to do a little bit
step in a little bit stronger
because some of those agencies are being cut and defunded or maybe decrease in funding and staff. Yeah,
FEMA has been hit pretty hard.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously they were one of our partners on major disasters. But they're still out there, and they're still functioning. They're just
a shoestring team and a shoestring budget, I would imagine. But, you know, that's kind of when people – usually it's a team that is they come into this work because they are – I'm going to use the word scrappy. You know, they're they're quick on – you know, they're going to be resourceful with what they need. So that's good, at least, but it's got to be making some folks tired.
Yeah. You know, the thing of it is, we have volunteers from all walks of life, in all age groups. We have some, we have professional painters. We have people who, physicians. We have a lot of licensed personnel. I mean, our health service people are licensed. Our mental health people are licensed. We also have people who are familiar with warehouse procedures. So it's a very diverse group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't do any of this. We can't do any of it. We can't respond to any disaster. We can't help anybody without our donors. So, the public that donates is a big part of what we're doing, is the people who are actually at the disasters, working the disasters, because it can't happen without funds.
That's right, because everything costs money. You know, this getting the resources, having the supplies, the transport, the food, all those things. I have a pamphlet here that I'm going to put into the camera. See if I can get that there. There we go. And it's about how you can get involved with the Red Cross. And I love, and on the back here, it's got phone numbers and all that good stuff.
1-800-RED-CROSS.
Thank you.
That's all you need to need. And redcross.org. And you
very
can put
simple.
A slash on there and go to blood or slash training or whatever.
Or just scroll around.
Redcross.org.
And
take a look and see what you might be interested in.
Well, and when you give the money or of your time, I really like the phrase that you're giving back to humanity, because that's what Red Cross is all about.
It is. It is. And, the people that, Red Cross had 43,000 hours donated by Southern Arizona volunteer hours this year, which, you know, it tells we do a lot of work.
That's
and,
right.
It's
yeah, this is not for the faint of heart. And
no.
While it can be sometimes a little lighter, it can be about, again, the babysitting tips and tricks and good procedures, swimming and some other things. The truth is all of that comes into play because it's part of being prepared for
Absolutely.
When an emergency strikes.
We have the past couple of years, we've worked with the state and with the city and the county on our heat preparedness, because actually some 900 people in Arizona die each year from heat-related deaths. And if 900 people died in a flood, that would be big news.
Right.
But every year, 900 people die in our state alone because of heat-related. So we
got to do more about
it. We're working about that. You know,
that costs money.
You got
to
hydrate.
Your point. Yeah.
You got
to
know where the cooling centers are. You got to be hydrated. You have to know that that when you're outside and you go, oh, I lived here all my life. Oh, I love the sun. I'm okay. You know.
Yep.
But so it's 110. I can handle it. Then I just go in the air conditioning. But what I was teaching the Pima County lifeguards this summer, because they know life-saving. I don't have to teach them that. But what we did to let them know about heat is, like, when you're standing out there in the sun, it's 110 degrees. It's 160 degrees on the top of your head.
That's right.
It's
and
160
that can hurt
degrees
you very quickly.
On the city streets. Mm-hmm. So your little doggy is going to burn their feet real quick.
Really quick.
There are things you think you know, but you don't know. And all we try to do is train people to be prepared, and don't do that, you know?
And give them the information. Well, we're going to take our last commercial break here very quickly, but we're going to be back talking with American Red Cross Southern Arizona chapter, because this chapter serves a population of over 1.4 million in the seven counties that make up Southern Arizona. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have some more quick hits about how you can get involved with Red Cross and make a difference in our community. Thank my guests who are here with us this second hour, Ed Alexander and Artis Wade from American Red Cross of Southern Arizona chapter. They are lead volunteers in the disaster action teams and in the community preparedness and being a liaison with all the other organizations. But also, they spoiled us with a few donuts and donut holes this morning. So cut the cake was very apropos. I know that we are wrapping up our show here in just a few minutes, but I want to make sure that folks know how to get connected when you need it most. And that's the phrase used by American Red Cross for their mobile app. We have apps for everything these days, but if there's one app that you really, really need to have on your phone, even if you don't think you need it right away, this is the one, because it has categories in it about blood donor, first aid, emergency, but also things like pet first aid and how to help if your pet has been injured, about hero care with the veterans, about youth, swimming, tornado, earthquake, lots of different things like that. Here is, and you will find it, I think, on our social media posts. But here is the QR code. I don't know if that's able to be seen on video or not, but hopefully I'll hold it there for just a moment. Again, it's a free app, the Red Cross mobile app, and you can find out more by going to redcross.org/apps.
Apps. That would it's be always slash something. Where
yes. are you? Or you can text APPS, all in caps, to 90999, or you can search American Red Cross in your app store feature on your phone. Yeah. So all those ways, or your mobile device, your tablet, whatever it is. Blood donation, super, super important all year round, all the time, all types of blood for everything that is needed. Please donate. Tell us more about that, Artisan Ed, as we wrap up our last few minutes.
This time of the year, getting donations drops off drastically. And the need goes up drastically.
Sure.
So if you've never donated blood before, this is the time to start, because we already have a blood shortage. We're going into the holidays.
And so we need to up those donations.
And we need to up those donations.
And if folks can't, if for one reason or another, like unfortunately I'm not able to give blood because of an illness I had when I was a teenager, and so my blood is not acceptable. Otherwise, I'd be donating regularly, but I am a huge advocate of donating blood, so I make sure to remind people, if you can, give blood. Everybody needs it.
Absolutely. You never know when you're going to need it, and of course you need it.
Yes.
And you could volunteer. You could volunteer just to be a greeter at one of our blood centers, the one up at Foothills and the one out on Broadway and 22nd. There's a lot of ways you can help. So redcross.org/blood, and that's how you put your zip code in, and it'll tell you where there's, it could be at a church, it could be at TMC, it could be at just about anywhere, at a bank or whatever, where there's a blood drive going on in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to have to go give my blood. I don't have to, but I willingly will.
And you're doing that later this morning after the show.
At 10:30 this afternoon, we're having our holiday blood drive at the Beads of Courage.
Oh, yes.
You know Beads? Oh, they're wonderful people. They have a new place on First and Fort Lowell.
That's right.
And we've...
just in the northwest of the intersection.
Yes, it is. And along with Kathy Bell and the Bell, you know...
Lizzie Bell.
We're all getting together and helping out and giving blood. And there's
and
still
you get
a
that wonderful juice pack afterwards.
You get a good T-shirt or you always get fun stuff.
Sometimes fruit punch.
So your one pint it when you want it.
Your one pint of blood can help up to four people. They use it for platelets, cancer patients,
and they cannot make blood in a lab.
Yeah, so
that's right.
You are unique, and you can help a lot of people.
You know, it could be a newborn baby. You know, and a mom. It could be a sickle cell patient. It needs hundreds of units a year. Okay,
that's right.
You never know. It could be a disaster. It could be a traffic accident.
All about being prepared, and I think that's the motto of American Red Cross. Artis Waite, Ed Alexander, you have been fabulous, and there's so much more to share. I hope that you will come back on a regular basis.
Thank you, buddy.
And shout out to Executive Director Courtney Slaniker and Regional Director Edgar Olivo of the whole Arizona New Mexico region. You all are doing a great job. Oh, my gosh. I just feel so proud to be talking to both of you today. Thank you for making time on Rainmakers.
Thank you for inviting us.
You bet. Matt Neely, thanks again for all your fabulous work. And everybody, our viewers and listeners, please have a wonderful week. It's a great day. It's National Cat Herders Day, so we know that we are all in it together to keep the chaos down. Enjoy. Thanks so much.
Thank you.